Hello and welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Now I'm going to kick it off with a news story that even made its way onto The View. With Whoopi Goldberg and...
Oh yeah?
And I think it's sort of one of those massive, blown out of proportion things. And everyone's got an opinion on this. Uh-huh. So one of the writers behind Sesame Street had in an interview said that he had... I mean, he's no longer a writer with Sesame Street at the moment, but he was for quite a while. But he had said that whenever it was Mark Saltzman, he was talking to Queerty, and it was just Tuesday that this was actually published. And he said that whenever he was writing for those two characters, he'd sort of been...
For Bert and Ernie.
Yeah, he contextualized them based on his same-sex relationship. So the fact that he was in a loving same-sex relationship provided...
One of them is more loving than the other, though.
The context for the writing of this character.
Right.
So everyone's like, oh my god. The writer says Bert and Ernie is a loving couple. Strong reactions were had, and Sesame Street itself had to issue a denial.
Okay.
It didn't point out that they were puppets, but it did point out that they don't actually have a sexuality.
Okay.
So as far as Sesame Street is concerned, they are neither straight nor gay.
Nor gay, okay.
Because they are non-sexual puppets.
Okay, okay.
And that was a huge story the last 2 days. People were just losing their bananas.
My opinion on this is the same opinion that makes you furious every time I mention it.
Oh, God.
That
is it butts?
No. It is not butts, although I often do talk about butts. I only think media is canon and not meta-median. So what I'm talking about here is that if you want to talk about Sesame Street, we're talking about, like, if there's any on-screen anything within the show that directly states that they're definitely a couple, no hints, like, pretty clear, then I am fully on board. If somebody on the outside of the media... in talking about the media refers to somebody as being gay, I don't accept that, because that, as far as I'm concerned, that's not canon. And the reason why I mention this in the context of you and I arguing is I don't think Dumbledore is gay.
Okay, well, I'm not even going to walk down that road.
Because that was a tweet about the book and it wasn't in the book.
But it was, the tweet was written by J.K. Rowling.
But it was not in the book. It's not canon.
Oh my god.
It's meta media. It doesn't count.
I just can't even with
you.
She
could just write a new book where he is openly gay.
With like addendum, he is gay.
No. I mean, like, she could do some kind of like a backstory, like some kind of like 50 years in the past.
She's co-written the screenplays for example, The Crimes of Grindelwald and others. So if these movies, as they come out, explore Dumbledore being homosexual, right, then would that not become canon?
Then it would be canon and I would stop arguing.
Okay, well,
but then I would say
pray for the day that you stop arguing.
Then I would say as of 2019, it's canon.
Oh my days. I can see why people...
Very stubborn about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you have friends? Like, I don't even know
Well, I kind of don't anymore. So, I mean, thanks for tearing open those wounds.
Anyway, the whole point here is the interview was with a writer who was doing it for a long time. It was Mark Saltzman. He was writing in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
He was with his partner, who was a film producer, during that time. And what he told Qwerty was that, you know, he couldn't imagine writing those characters any other way.
No, that's like, fair.
For me, that was his frame of reference.
And as much as I'm talking about my strong feelings about canon, I also think that every single audience member has the right to interpret anything they want in any way they want.
I think that's really kind of the point that, because I saw clips of it on The View when I was researching this, was that was the point that Whoopi said, that really, you know, your interpretation of what that relationship is sort of... the important piece there.
Yeah.
Whether or not you wish to see that or...
There's a famous essay on this topic called The Author is Dead, and the idea is that once an artist creates something and puts it into the world, they don't own it anymore, that the audience gets to interpret in whatever way they want, which infuriates quite a few people. So if you look at Star Wars and you have all the joking things that go on about Star Wars. Like, one of my favorite Star Wars jokes was, there's like the Family Guy Star Wars episode where they say, you know, Luke, you have a sister, and he goes, Leia, it's Leia. And like, how do you know? Because she's the only woman in the galaxy. Which, you know, in the original trilogy is true. Well, except for that one general who I think had a name, but I think that name was just in the credits, and you just had to pick it up from the credits. So, I mean, that's cheating. But yeah, I mean, you can make up any theory you want, and that's totally fine. That's up to you. You have the right to do that. That's up to you. But, and this is the thing, that if people latched on to Bert and Ernie as a symbol,
it's fine. I think it's when I said it was being blown way out of proportion, I mean, this is the person who wrote it and was saying that my context was the loving relationship that he was in at the time. Now,
did he also create the characters in the first place?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
Because they were in the 60s and 70s. So it would have been Jim Henson
created it, and then he just picked up the torch. And
For 20-odd years. Okay. But in terms of the writing, having an idea of where you're writing from, and I think that context is really the bit that was lost.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a very good context for showing, you know, as a frame of reference for a relationship between two male characters, I think framing it on a loving relationship is good. Bearing in mind that I'm talking about not sexual, of course, but and the Muppets have never been that. Apparently the Muppets are all four-year-olds. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, on Sesame Street they're not, but on the Muppets, they absolutely are. They're loaded with innuendo. Like, if you've ever watched any of the Muppets movies as adults, they're not as kid-friendly as your first impression actually is.
Well, Sesame Street and the Muppet World are two very different things.
They overlap a lot, and they're made by the same people, but so.
Well, apparently, all the characters in Sesame Street are four, or designed to be four-year-olds.
Okay. Including Big Bird?
Yeah.
That's a huge four-year-old.
I think that's part of the point was that
puberty is going to be cruel to him.
It's just people of all different shapes and sizes. Although, and that's sort of part of the argument is, you know, they're only four. But now we're looking at the fact that self-actualization of sexuality and gender identity is moving down in age. You know, it worries a lot of people. It worries me that the age of self-actualization is sort of dropping when they realize maybe and can put words to how they're feeling. But it could also just be that now we're getting better equipped. And you're right. Bert and Ernie have always been that metaphor that people can point at.
Yeah.
In fact, the New Yorker in 2013 had the outline of Bert and Ernie embracing, sitting on a couch, watching the announcements of the gay marriage win at the Supreme Court. Because they kind of opted for that because that was a universally recognized gay relationship. Like, you see Bert and Ernie and you're thinking, oh, okay, yeah. Like, that was something that they believed that the national audience understood to be a gay relationship. So this isn't new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that's been quite a consistent. So why it got blown up all the way to The View of all places, you know, who I don't even know why.
I mean, if you go on any kind of image generator and you put gay couple, it's usually Neil Patrick Harris and
Bert and Ernie.
Mr. Neil Patrick Harris. I can't remember his husband's name. I know. Sometimes you'll get, I was going to say Oscar Wilde, no, Stephen Fry and Mr. Stephen Fry. I can't remember his husband's name either. Yeah. But they're actually...
The only husband of a homo that I remember is David Furnish.
I don't know who that is.
It's Elton John's husband.
Oh, okay.
But I think he's the only one I know.
He was an interior decorator from Toronto, I believe.
Who is the one that's married to Tom Daley?
Elmo.
Dustin Black. Okay. Yeah, he's the other one. He's the only other husband. So I know two husbands of a homo. Because you're right, the husband of tends to get you're like, who
they're
is actually that?
Well, you know, there is one cartoon male couple where it actually is canon that they're gay. And it was Ren and Stimpy. And it was Ren and Stimpy was the rebirth of the creator-driven cartoon. So before then, it was always studios doing everything, and it was top-down. And then you had the animators over here and the voice people over there and the storyboarders over there. They didn't talk to each other. Ren and Stimpy was the first cartoon since the 50s where everybody was in the same room at the same time designing the cartoon together. And it just happened to be that the guy who delivered the coffee was gay. And they put a gay joke in, and then they took it out. And then he, like, went to the creator of the show, and he was just the guy who delivered the coffees. And he was, like, crying. And he's like, dude, everybody knows they're gay. Why are you taking that out? And they're like, well, we didn't think it was appropriate. Like, and the guy was just like, if you do a gay joke appropriately, they're hilarious. If you do them inappropriately, they're offensive. put the gay joke back in. They did, and then they became canon, and now Ren and Stimpy are gay. When you actually watch them interact with each other, you're like, I think I know that couple. Like, mm-hmm. they're a functioning...
An example of a romantic relationship. Yeah. Not all romantic relationships are healthy, which yeah. is very unfortunate. And it's good to see examples of yeah. where things can be improved.
Well, they're invested in each other's long-term well-being. And yeah. that's the baseline. If you can demonstrate that you are invested in each other's long-term well-being, then you're demonstrating that you have the baseline to be a good couple. Just one of them has anger management issues and the other one's ADHD. So, I mean...
No wonder why it's a cartoon.
Hijinks ensue whenever you get that kind of a parent. So whatever.
So let us know, what do you think? Is this a whole kerfuffle over nothing? Is gayness in the eye of the beholder when it comes to Sesame Street?
Is Dumbledore gay?
We're not even going to talk about that right now. Anyways, let us know what you think. We're going to be jumping to a song. I actually wanted to play SOS, not by ABBA, but Cher's cover of SOS. Which is being released ahead of her album.
I think it was March when we talked about the fact that Cher was going to release an album just of ABBA covers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she just released the video for it and the full track ahead of her album release, which will be coming up soon. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that she is touring Canada. If you can still find tickets, she's in Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and I think she's in Vancouver. Be sure to check it out. But what I really liked about this, and of course this is radio, you can't see the video, but it's visually very appealing. But what's interesting is the reinterpretation of the song, SOS. I had an all-woman cast of dancers sort of lip-syncing the song. And I specify all women because they had some trans women in there as well, kind of really encompassing... all definition of womanhood. Uh-huh. And that's kind of interesting because Cher has been a very significant ally to the trans community.
Oh, yes.
Because, of course, of her son, Chaz Bono.
Not at first, but her evolution into acceptance was very early and incredibly fast. And it's also very well documented about, like, this is what it looks like, what an evolution into acceptance looks like when it's positive.
And I think maybe Cher could actually be a role model here, not just because she's a gay icon, but because, you know, we have to acknowledge that for parents of trans kids, it can be a shock.
Oh, yes.
You know, parents of even gay kids and lesbian and bi kids, that sort of, you have a concept, an idea, even if it's a misinterpretation. Yeah. You have an idea of what your child is going to be. Mm-hmm. You have hopes and dreams sort of pinned on them.
Yeah.
And these things come as a shock.
I think that, like, to take the most note of is the fact that Chaz Bono was one of the first publicly trans people in popular America. So it wasn't just that your child becomes trans, but your child is like one of the first three people in American history to be publicly trans. Like, that is that right there. There was a lot of weight on that situation right there. I think most people would react like, if your kid is one of the first people to do something that is considered like kind of radical at the time, you're probably gonna be like, and as I said, like, she turned around on it very quickly. She adapted to it and be like, whatever. And the more she spent time with her son, she was like, yeah, no, you know what? I get it. This makes sense. So, I mean, it was,
Where I was kind of going with this is that for folks, for parents of trans folks, take a look at Cher's journey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, it's very well documented. There's a lot in there. And she's kind of come out the other side with a more nuanced understanding of what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a man.
Yeah, and she also never said, I hate it. She just said, I don't get it. So it's a very different kind of journey.
And she went and she learned.
Yeah.
Well, we're hoping to keep this learning conversation going. When we get back, we're talking about Canadian LGBT news, and this is Cher with SOS.
They seem so hard to find. I tried to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened? wish I understood. It used to be so nice, it used to be so good.
Welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Still Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
This is true. You are Sebastian. We've checked and verified. Well, we want to go to some Canadian news. We're going to start off with a nice little story.
Okay.
About the province of Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Where changes to the Vital Statistics Act. Wow, say that five times
this
fast.
This has been a bad episode for you so far. By the way, you at home don't know about all the post-processing that's going on because...
Oh, it takes me so long.
Luke has been having the most gooey hiccups I've ever heard in my life. I didn't even know you could have a wet hiccup.
It's
but
true.
They've all been edited out, I can guarantee it by now. But I've been sitting here listening
to
this.
Oh, I think the odd one or two may have snuck in. Because if I hiccup in the middle of a word, I mean, do I lose the whole word?
Do I just roll on, yeah.
It's got to be what it is. So, yeah.
Statistics, yes.
The changes to the Vital Statistics Act.
Vital Statistics
in the province of Nova Scotia. I don't know why I'm struggling with it today. Oh, heaven to Betsy. But... there we go. Anyway, the big news here is that X will now be an option.
Oh, good.
So
okay.
A gender-neutral option for birth certificates.
Okay.
Which is very exciting news for Nova Scotia. You can put X on passports.
Right, yeah.
You can put X in Ontario, Newfoundland and Labrador, Alberta, the Yukon, Northwest Territories.
Mm.
Saskatchewan and Ontario have the option to not have your gender on your birth certificate.
Okay.
Now, this does differ. I read a bit more of the article about the birth registration.
Okay.
Which I suppose is just a list of the fact that the birth is a thing that happened. And the birth certificate would then be your license saying, yes, you are a human. Here is your I exist letter.
Okay.
It seems a ridiculous amount of bureaucratic work. Clearly, this is keeping civil servants
very busy.
Absolutely.
Very busy. Yeah. But, I mean... good for Nova Scotia.
So this has some other changes as well. It allows all parents the same rights to register the birth of the child with the surname of their choice.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be the mother or the father. Or it can be any of them to actually do the registering.
My favorite system for this is called the bilineal system. And it's very rare in the world's cultures where sons get their father's surname and daughters get the mother's surname. And you get this sort of bilineal thing. So everybody knows, all the guys know their patronage going back and all the women know their matronage going back. And then everybody keeps their name when they get married. And I think that's super groovy, but there's like 5 cultures in the world or something like that that does it. I don't know why I never picked up.
There is one last change, which I'm going to mention.
Sorry, I just threw that in there.
Yeah, and there's a couple of other ones, but this is one that I thought was quite interesting. They're changing how long you have to be in the province before you can change your name.
Oh.
So most places have a residency requirement before you can go and legally change documentation.
Even if you're a Canadian citizen going from one province to another?
Well, the idea is if you break the law in Ontario, pop over to the border to Quebec, change your name, and then pop back a week later. I mean, it could be a bit of a minefield for...
Well, that's what good record keeping is for. I mean, the bureaucrats are clearly busy already.
Well, anyway, in Nova Scotia, it was originally a full year.
Okay.
So imagine if you were trans, you were moving from one to the other, you want to explore changing your documentation, you have to wait a heck of a long time before you're allowed to do so if you've not been there for more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
They're now changing it to 3 months, which is typical of the other jurisdictions.
Oh, okay.
That's at least according to a media release and reporting by the Haligonia.ca, which I think is based out of Halifax.
I think once you pay rent somewhere, as far as I'm concerned, you are a citizen. Like the moment you get like a stub of payment for rent anywhere, then that's, you know, once you buy groceries and pay the hydro in a given place, then you're a resident. I'm also very biased about that because I've moved around the world quite a bit and I've seen a lot of people, you know, moving to Canada for a while and they're like, oh no, I'm just passing through. And it's like, yeah, but dude, you pay rent. Like you're, you know, temporary, but you're a citizen of sorts, at least. So, you know.
There's another interesting story coming out of Alberta where the MLA, so the member of the Legislative Assembly there, is looking at introducing a bill with the NDP party to...
Bill Wurst?
Ban, no.
Bill O'Keefe?
No, oh. like Act. Like
oh, okay.
Bill Act.
Okay.
Bill
to, Act, I know him.
Yeah, lovely man. Don't like his beard, too scruffy. But no, it's introducing a bill that would make illegal conversion therapy in Alberta.
Right.
So I think we talked last week about, I want to say it was Nova Scotia as well. It's interesting, actually, the role that the Lutheran Church is taking in this.
The Lutherans.
The Lutheran Church. So Reverend Dr. Glenn Schaefer, who is the president of the Alberta British Columbia Lutheran Church District, wrote to the education minister.
That's a huge district. That's bigger than most European countries.
This is a very big district.
It's weird.
Wrote to the education minister of Alberta, David Egan, about the school guidelines around sexuality, etc. This was the whole Alberta sex ed kerfuffle from a little short whiles back.
Okay.
And a part of that letter, which was published inside their convention, included the recommendation that schools can create safer learning environments by enforcing anti-bully legislation. And everyone's like, yes, yes, okay, mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we quote here, medical and psychological reparative therapy for children suffering from gender dysphoria or an intersexual condition.
I see.
So the head of the Lutheran Church for Alberta and BC literally recommended conversion therapy
as a solution
to the homos in schools, which is shocking when you bear in mind that like the Psychological Society for Alberta and BC and Canada and really just the whole world
said
it defines as torture. Yeah, it is shocking, absolutely shocking that the Lutheran Church would, or this particular individual would write a letter stating
addressed. And say that it should be shocking, but at this point, it isn't anymore.
No, I disagree. I think if this was something that came out of Trump's America, I would not be shocked. But this is Canada, and one does not expect an actual recommendation for, and I quote, intersexual conditions to be conversion therapy. Like, I think that's ridiculous.
I would expect this kind of thing to come out even in Canada, but I wouldn't expect it to stick. If this passed, I would be shocked. But the fact that somebody recommended it, I mean, well, there's idiots everywhere.
The sex ed legislation in all of the provinces, as it's come up, has broadly had a lot of kickback and a lot of fight against it from conservative corners.
Right.
Some of them bring very valid concerns. Mm-hmm. And I think we've explored some of those concerns when we were talking about the Ontario sex ed and other sex eds as they come up in conversation.
Right.
And I'm not discounting those serious concerns.
Yeah.
But if someone's being bullied and they're looking to create a safer space, hauling them off to what's been literally described as the World Health Organization as torture is not making a safe space. It is the stupidest idea I've heard in a long while.
Well, we've already been through this before. For decades, we'll call them gay acting young boys. So not necessarily gay boys, but boys who behaved in a way that people made people assume that they were gay.
Yeah.
Were forced into speech-language pathology for about 2 decades. Even in here in Ontario, where you were basically like put in there and you would get like an accent specialist or a dialectologist or an SBL. And they would actually get in there and they would try to quote-unquote correct somebody's speech so that they sound less gay. And it's the same thing. Like, how do we fix bullying? Well, we take the kid who's bullied and then we change them into someone who people wouldn't want to bully because that's fair. But yeah, no, there is a rich history of that. And actually, Canada was a little bit worse than most countries with the speech language pathology thing. And there is actually a book about it. David Sedaris wrote about his memories as a very gay acting gay boy in Me Talk One Pretty One Day. It's a funny book. I recommend it. I also recommend David Sedaris in general. But no, this is a dark part of queer history that doesn't come up as often as it probably should, that like tormenting all these young guys with speech language pathology. The only reason why I didn't go through that when I was a kid was because my school board couldn't afford it. But I was on the block for people who should go through it, and they discontinued it not long after I got to middle school.
Like we said, that also relates to the recent use of speech pathology. Maybe I'm living in a world where Canada is a bit more nuanced and is not recommending what's been defined as torture as a solution for homosexual children.
They're not accepting the recommendations. That's the difference.
I mean, I still think, I mean, for me, it beggars belief that was a letter that someone put their name on. It astonishes me. I really hope that this bill goes through. I really hope that Alberta joins Manitoba and Ontario in banning this.
Yeah.
We know that Vancouver's banned it. Nova Scotia's in the process of doing so. We have our fingers crossed for Nova Scotia on that one. It is ridiculous that children are put through this. But I mean, that's our position on this has been gone over a number of times. Now, I want to talk about Alberta one more time.
Okay.
And I'm going to be talking about Calgary.
All right.
Now, Calgary has a branch of the Omega Fire Ministries. Now, the Omega Fire Ministries is based out of Nigeria. It is where a very charismatic preacher, Johnson Suleiman, founded the church. He had a vision in 1997, I think it was, that God had come to him and said to make his church. A short while later, he did, and now he's got sort of branches all over the place. Very, very popular in Nigeria.
Right.
Very, very popular in Nigeria. But Suleiman was scheduled just this past week to speak in Calgary at a big sort of sermon-giving event. Hundreds of people showed up. We know this because a lot of people actually tried to stop Suleiman from getting into the country to begin with. Jane Picken of the Knox Presbyterian Church said, "When I heard he was coming, I was completely shocked. I know people who have tried to come to Canada on an academic conference and were refused. I can't see why on earth he would get a visa." So it's sort of shocking that he's like, people who want to come and study get here. But a preacher who has been accused of inciting hate speech was allowed to come. Now, CTV and others reached out to Suleiman. Nobody was allowed from the media to go and attend the sermon, and reached out to him about these allegations. Now, in August 27th, a clip emerged of Suleiman's hate speech.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we're actually going to jump to just a short segment of this to give you an idea of why people think he should not have been allowed into the country.
God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. If you're a homosexual, you have four problems. Number one, you have a demon living inside you. A registered demon from hell. Demon with capital letters. Number two, you have a medical problem because your thinking is wrong. Number three, economic problem can cause it. There are people that get paid for being homosexuals. Number four, you are a pervert. You have tried the normal style. It's no more important. You want something new. These are your four problems. So deal with it and stop forcing it on people. There are offices that you can't be promoted except you are part of them. In this country, we kill the spirit of homosexuality. In Nigeria, lesbianism, homosexuality, we kill that spirit.
So, first question. Who is your registered demon? For me,
it's Azazel.
Azazel?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Azazel himself.
Yeah.
My gosh, wow.
I think, believe he's the demon lord of language and commerce.
Oh.
If I remember correctly. It's either Azazel or Azrael. I can never remember.
What a ridiculous sermon. The old Adam and Steve, not Adam and Eve.
I mean, I kind of...
You know, the...
I shouldn't have, but I chuckled a bit where I was just like, you know, I've heard this before.
But you know what's really worrying is, you know, Calgary, for example, has refugees who have fled Nigeria fearing for their lives because people beat and kill homosexuals in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to believe me. You can believe the Refugee and Citizenship Board that believed these refugees.
Yeah.
You know, it's there are people there in Calgary who have fled for their lives because of the exact kind of insightful hate that Suleiman has said in Nigeria.
So, and then he followed them there.
And he did. He picked up the nearest plane ticket. I mean, I think Suleiman's actually on a tour that's sort of going worldwide. He's considered an apostle and is sort of preaching to anyone who stands still and listens. But it wasn't like he purposely followed the homos. But the whole point is that Canadians from many churches, the Unitarian Church, he was actually in the Metropolitan Union Church in Toronto, the big one that's sort of at the forefront of all the gay rights.
The Rainbow Church.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Was one of the ones that first flagged it up. It was the former priest there who kind of raised the flag in Calgary. The community in Calgary tried to reach out to the LGBT liaison with the police, being like, we feel like this guy is going to incite hate and violence. They, you know, they spoke to the hate crimes unit, the police had a stronger presence there. But it's kind of amazing that he was allowed into the country. Because other people who have incited violence have not been allowed into the country. There are Muslim preachers. We spoke a few weeks ago with Shelby Deagle.
Yes.
And we were talking about the fact that the mosque here in Ottawa lost its license, its charitable license, because it had hosted speakers who are homophobic.
Yeah.
And that was cited as a reason for it to lose its charitable license. And yet this church does the exact same thing.
Well, I mean, the story's fresh. They could lose their license, you know, depending on who does what over the next couple weeks. If you live in the Calgary area, you should write your local representative.
Absolutely.
This is something that I really like to say.
You have a...
I have a thing about writing your local representative.
You do have a thing to write your local representative.
And I mean it. I really mean it. I really do. I think
it is very frankly quite shocking. And to be fair, the clip that we played just now did come out in just this past August. You know, border services may not have known about the clip, may not have known that he'd have a reputation of inciting violence from this clip.
Because, like, when you were telling me about this story earlier, I was like, hey, you know, freedom of speech, let the guy speak. And you're like, no, but listen. And then I was like, oh, Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Now, normally...
I mean, in a province where they're suggesting, you know, torture to fix homosexuals in schools, I don't think that... I think we need to be a bit more careful of what's considered.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, it's... Even people who are who don't know what to think about the free speech debate, like, it's universally agreed upon, doesn't matter where you are in the spectrum, that inciting violence and calls to violence mm-hmm. are universally decried.
I don't think it was in the clip that we played.
Oh, we wouldn't, Dean, anyway.
The incitement that we were referring to was, and he mentioned having a registered demon, and we make fun of it a little bit. And despite that, what's really important, the big takeaway here, was that he says that you have a demon inside you, and that that demon should be exiled or killed or removed. Mm. And people have been taking these words very seriously. And this is why, in part, at least from what evidence I've seen from the reporting within the gay world, that there is a clear link between that kind of speech about beating the gay demon out of somebody and attacks on homosexuals. I mean, yeah. It doesn't take a genius to draw that conclusion. And bearing in mind that Nigeria does have high rates of violence,
yeah.
where there are people fleeing for their lives and yeah, going absolutely. Places like Calgary. So all in all, I'm shocked that they let him in. I'll be surprised if he can get back into the country again. I think often it's sort of those fool me once, shame on me kind of scenarios. It'll be interesting to see if this impacts his tour moving forward. Canada has taken action before, so hopefully okay. we'll see that action taken again. Because, you know, he might not be out there beating a gay person
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
But his words certainly have
yeah.
provided the fig leaf for others to do so.
Calls to violence are they're not. I'm not interested in that. They're fairly deplorable.
Yeah,
deplorable.
We're gonna jump to the song "We Were Here" by Light off of their album "Skin and Earth." It was actually during this album, I believe, that Light explored her bisexuality. I also like the song. Let us know what you think. And let us know, do you think that Suleiman should have been allowed to speak? Or are his words dangerous, not just to the people, but of course, for the actions that his followers may take? Let us know at Talk Can Queer. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll be back just after this.
$20, night's so breezy. Make it look easy. Local cuts, pizza crust. Leave a message on the bus. Full moon howling. Let's go prowling. Spend some time, burn the money. Yeah, we gon' toast through shit we got into. I'm no good, not tryna be. Yeah, we got issues. Take a flag with you. Dressed up, messed up, put on a show. So the whole damn world's gonna know that we were here.
Solid as gold, we gonna make it.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I am Sebastian.
And I want to jump in right off the bat by playing a bit of an infomercial. Now, I hope you'll entertain me for just a moment. This is actually a PSA that was released by Grindr, which many may recognize from popular culture as the gay dating app. Anyways, I'm going to play a quick... Yes, and that noise.
That's my impersonation of that.
They changed that too. It's not like it doesn't make that noise anymore. I think it was very soon afterwards.
It sounded so woody. Like it sounded like a nice...
I feel like that's sort of appropriate for a gay day.
But it was a really nice timbre to it. I actually liked the sound of it. It sounded like a wooden instrument.
Anyway, let's see what Grindr, the new campaign by Grindr, has to say about itself. We're not going to play the whole PSA. That's kind of boring. But we're going to have a quick conversation about it just after this. And let's see what you think.
Go back to Mexico.
People like you are the reason that Ebola exists, and I hope that you catch it and you die.
You're such a dirty, disgusting rat from Southeast Asia.
You look like you're on drugs. It's always my hair.
I have a preference for light-skinned guys.
BBC.
No rice.
Whites only.
You, your people, all of it, get out of my country.
Imagine if I was walking down the street and I saw a bunch of store signs that said, only these people, not you, only looking for this, none of this allowed in. It correlates kind of to that type of experience.
I have to admit that sometimes like some of the comment kind of haunted me in a sense. It's affect your process of thinking, how you function in life.
Racism is you thinking that like I'm not gonna be smarter than you when you first meet me, or when black people are articulate and other people go, oh, you're so well-spoken. Like, that's the kind of stuff that bothers me, and that's the kind of stuff that I feel like needs to be addressed. I think the racism that's not overt, but that's covert, is the main problem.
I started to sort of like take on like, oh, is there something wrong with me? Like, is there something about myself that I should be ashamed of when I'm interacting with these guys? Like, it just sort of like opened my eyes to a hierarchy that I wasn't sort of participating in before.
It's just crazy how something that's happening on an app can kind of take you to the real world and you're kind of affected by it.
I couldn't wrap my brain around how someone thought that language was okay. It can really consume you.
You just start to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and count all the reasons that nobody is going to love you.
Okay, so that's it. Racism has been solved. I think that's what that means.
So I have several problems with the campaign, with the fact that Grindr is doing this. So about maybe it was like 9 months ago, almost a year, we actually brought in somebody who does cognitive analyses of software platforms to come in and actually look at the different things. And one of the things that we actually found by looking at Grindr is that there's something about the infrastructure of Grindr, how the whole thing is laid out, that encourages the kind of behavior that they're trying to get rid of. So on Grindr, you have access to put up one photo and put in something like 100 characters worth of text. So all you are giving the other person the ability to do is judge you on the appearance of one photo and 100 characters of text. I mean, I'm not going to say that this is naturally going to make racism, but it's definitely going to make superficial analyses of who you are. Mm-hmm. Any kind of platform that allows you to put on multiple photos, that allows you to put large volumes of text, or at least more text, and allows you to actually express yourself as an individual a little bit more thoroughly, definitely good. The other thing is that Grindr introduced into the dating app world the notion of tribes, that when you sign on, you have to list yourself as being a twink or a bear or a leather. They introduced that. So it's, I don't know, like to me, it's like the cheek. But on the other hand, they are right. Like they're bringing up a whole lot of really solid points about like, let's say you do have preferences, okay? Like I have preferences, but this is what preferences means to me, all right? I prefer French vanilla ice cream over normal vanilla ice cream because I like ice cream that actually tastes like vanilla. But if you put white flavor, just dairy ice cream in front of me, I will say thank you because it is also good. I prefer one over the other, but it doesn't mean I reject the other. I have my preferences. It doesn't mean I'm closed-minded to other things, okay? And I think that that has been lost along the way of like what you prefer really should be. Like, if you imagine your future with someone, what does that person look like? You're probably going to be wrong. In fact, you're almost definitely going to be wrong. But in what ways, right? And one of the people who we can't show because there was a lot of swears.
Yeah, we cut the PSA short. It's a lot longer. Yeah. Someone gets a little frank in that description.
The guy who swore the most is the guy that I actually agree with the most, where he's like, you know, you can just like not talk to me or just block me and not even interact whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And there's that whole dynamic there that a lot of people, like when you talk to people like in person about how they use these apps, a lot of people are like, you know, if there's somebody who, when I read their profile and they say something, it's like, ooh, because, you know, they have a belief that you're not into or they want to do something. They're like, you know, I want to take you home and do blank, blank, blank to you. And there's like, there's no universe where anyone's going to do that to me.
Yeah.
So you block them. And not necessarily, because when you block somebody, they don't know that you've blocked them, except that they just stop seeing you.
And if you're using the free version of the app, it just frees up that little bit of space
yeah.
to see who's the, you know, half a meter further yeah. away. Yeah.
So just don't talk to them if you're not into them. Mm-hmm. There you go. Like, why are you burning calories to go out of your way to talk to somebody who you have no interest in?
I mean, what's interesting, we cut it short just before that part, that bit there, and it was an Asian guy saying that, you know, saying things like no Asians, you know, by not having it in there, by not specifying that, yeah. does not mean that you're...
That like, you must.
Contractually obligated yeah. to have intercourse with every Asian. Like
yeah,
that's,
yeah, yeah.
First of all, it'll take a while.
Yeah.
And second of all, I mean, that's not what that is at yeah. all. It's about saying what it means is if an Asian person finds you attractive and strikes mm-hmm. up a conversation,
yeah.
you can have that conversation at that point instead of announcing to the whole world, by the way, I'm a racist against Asians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what the no fats, no femmes, no Asians yeah. thing does.
And he also, the same guy, I really like this guy's points, even though he was super sweary and totally not radio mm-hmm. friendly at all, is that it is okay to say no thank you. If somebody contacts you and you're not into it, just politely say, you know, I respectfully decline.
Ignoring people? Oh, that's such a,
no,
like
just,
a faux pas.
No, thank you. Just
yeah.
No,
like,
thank
acknowledge.
You. Yeah.
Move on with your yeah. lives, you know?
So, and it's, and that's fine. You can do that. And this is something like a lot of the online behavior, actually a lot of the behavior, even in the bars in the community, really boils down to the fact that people are terrified of saying no. And it's so bizarre because they're happy to say no. And yet they keep avoiding situations where they may need to. And it's so bizarre. Just be, you know, learn how to, you know, thank you very much. I'm very flattered, but no thank you. Or you can just do all the stuff you do when someone you know but don't like asks you out. Where you're like, well, you know, I'm busy. Or, you know, like once somebody was really bothering me, not on Grindr because I hate the thing, but on another one. And I was just like, I got explosive diarrhea, dude. Like, call me back in 2 days. Of course he didn't. But, like, a little bit of crassness gets you a mm-hmm. lot of mileage. The worst, though, I tried that on somebody and he was into it.
Oh. Backtrack. I want to read a statement from Grindr here. They say that at Grindr, we're into diversity inclusion and users who treat each other with respect.
Mm-hmm.
We're not into racism, bullying, or other forms of toxic behavior.
Yeah.
Those are our preferences. And we've been updated our community guidelines to better reflect them. Same app, new rules. Everyone is entitled to their opinion,
yeah.
their type, their taste. But nobody's entitled to tear someone else down because of their race, size, gender, HIV status, age, or quite simply, being who they are.
Or religion. And, I've heard a lot of Jewish friends complain about.
And it goes on. Yeah. And just even the anti-religiosity
yeah,
in the gay
yeah.
community as a whole. I mean, the statement goes on. The Reuters actually did an interview with Grindr. And what they were talking about, the fact that Grindr, as you said, really defines the gay dating space.
It does.
It has kind of monopolized it
for
almost.
Better or for worse, yeah.
And what they found was that they're introducing a zero tolerance policy. Any language sort of around the theme of no fats, no femmes, no Asians,
no.
any language that says no based on broad stroke inserted here
right.
is not going to be tolerated okay. by the company. And if people report it, it'll be there from there. Actually, the Reuters interview spoke with UK Black Pride. And they actually came up with a really good point, really stating the fact that this is great news. However, it's not just on the app to respond to complaints, but it's also on the app users to really step up their game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no good reason for this behavior from anybody.
And be open-minded. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're wrong.
Well, I wanted to mention that Grindr is not the first or the only to do this.
Right.
OkCupid recently followed Grindr's previous footsteps in making gender-neutral language.
Okay.
But like I said, they're just tools.
Yeah.
The inclusivity starts and ends with the user.
With the user.
The
only people that I flat out ignore are the people who just say hey, purely because I have in the past been polite, but I have literally never had a conversation just start with hey and have it go anywhere. And it's just anything at all. Hello, how's your day? How are you going? What's your favorite song? I don't know. Whatever. Just, you know, more than just hey, because you could have just said hey to the entire everyone within 200 meters. Oh, this is an interesting update.
This is the
Read the last
story of our day.
This
and
is a good
it was
one.
It's another Grindr story. Queer Europe, which is, I think, is a non-profit effort for media there in Europe. They have done an expose looking at the fact that third-party apps that integrate with Grindr are still available to reveal the exact location of people on Grindr. So on the app, it uses your GPS, so it does know exactly where you are.
Yeah.
But within the app, it sort of smudges the lines a bit.
It fudges the numbers.
You could be next to each other, but it'll say you're 200 meters away.
Yeah.
That's a security reason.
When Luke and I used to be roommates, I actually used to annoy him by messaging him on Grindr when we were both in our rooms.
So the issue here is that nobody's hacked into Grindr to get the exact location data.
Right, okay.
This software is like easily available online.
Right, yeah. Like
anyone with the right website address can just pull it up.
Yeah.
And then immediately map exactly where every user is.
Well, some people link their dating profiles to other things like Pinterest or Snapchat. What can happen is you can go through the app to these other photo sharing apps, which are much easier to exploit. And some of them actually, the photo tags are a lot easier to get into the data of the images to see, you know, when they were taken, where they were taken, what the GPS location is, that kind of thing. So it's really interesting that some of these exploitations are indirect, and I can look at this beautiful image right now exactly how this is going, that, you know, they're going to fudge the numbers. In certain places in the world, this would be life or death.
Absolutely.
Because there are a lot of places in the world where Grindr is not really used for hookups. It's used for socializing, where you have, like, you know, people in the deep countryside where you go on Grindr because that is the only way to know how is there anybody, you know, within 200 kilometers of you in some cases. Like the top 20 people, some of them will be like an 8-hour drive away. Actually, I think it stops at 20 kilometers or something like that. I don't remember. But anyway, but there are also places in the world where people build community and they actually meet friends through this, because there are no gay bars, because it's not legal to be openly any LGBTQ anything whatsoever.
Well, Grindr said it solved the problem. It uses high-tech software. And it's more like telling you what grid square you are on a map. Turns out that square is actually really, really small.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great photo on here which kind of highlights the point that, like, a Google satellite Earth image of a row of houses, and it's able to tell you which house somebody is in. And also they said that you can turn off the distance thing feature within the settings on Grindr. However, a study in Kyoto University in 2016 found that even with that feature, you can still pinpoint exactly where people are. So essentially, Grindr, although it's a lovely tool, FYI, if you're on it, people know you're on it, and they know exactly where you are when you are on it. So you could be at home, you could be at work, you could be visiting the Swedish embassy, and they would know where you are. So be careful is what we're imploring people. Like I said, this story is barely a week old.
It'd be like an encryption key.
Pretty shocking. Anyways, that's all we've got time for. Rhea May has a new song out. It is an acoustic song, However, it is explicit, so we're going to opt not to play that one at the moment.
Play a different older song.
We'll play an older song. Actually, this song, Gold, is one of the is the first video where she actually publicly demonstrated the fact that she's a lesbian. There's a lesbian narrative in the video where she features herself. So of all of the Rhea May videos to go for, I think, this is certainly one of the best.
This is the most lesbian.
This is the most lesbian of the songs. Yeah. Anyways, I've been Luke Smith.
And I have been Sebastian. And thank you very much for listening. Bye now.
I still don't understand why you're gone.